Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are so happy that you spent some time with us over Thanksgiving and the Black Friday. We actually hit some numbers that we've probably done a little bit better, but you never know what the total volume is that's being divided in the shares of most listened and so forth. But I will say this, we were in the top 5 and the top 10 for both Thanksgiving and the Black Friday. So it seemed like we stayed pretty close to the top 10 the entire time. We were at many points in the top 5 for being actively listened and or streamed. So we thank you. We want to acknowledge the fact that without you, our numbers wouldn't be growing. And hopefully this content is helping, or at least this content is providing the necessary clarity as to what we really need to be learning, what we need to be doing so that we can move forward. Because, as you know, it's about time to get a little pragmatic about the election. Here, I got a question for you. There's no question. I already told you long before the election that Trump won this election with legitimate voting. The courts and everybody are weighing in, and I am telling you that there is a complete lack of protest from the conservatives and from conservative leaders. Where are the protests challenging the veracity of this election? That we have that we have a system that's steeped in election fraud and voter fraud. The fact is that there are way too many illegal aliens being able to vote. I mean, we're talking millions. And when you look at the magnitude of millions, and in addition to, you know, these mystical ballots and all of these numbers that come in overnight that all of a sudden, you know, just jump hundreds of thousands with only one candidate that's on that ballot. Every single one of these ballots actually has to be challenged. If you do not demand an audit, now I've asked you to send emails and or send contact messages to the White House. I am asking you now, why are you not getting organized? Why are you Tea Partiers? Why are you local grassroots folks not getting organized and going down to your Capitol or going down to your city hall and demanding a nationwide as well as a local and state audit of this election? We can no longer allow ineligible voters to actually submit votes. We can only have legitimate votes dictate the outcome of our election. And so, let's get pragmatic. I mean, there is plenty of evidence. And as a matter of fact, all you've got to do is just create the signs. It doesn't matter if the news isn't going to list these things. It doesn't matter if everybody just thinks that we have such an honorable system. Yeah, it's an honorable system among thieves. There is honor among thieves. They will lie and they'll do anything and everything they can to protect themselves. And if you notice, there's a lot of people that are being attacked because they are challenging this. This is where this needs to become a vocal rant. So I invite everybody who acknowledges the fact that this election is being stolen just like many others before. Are you going to let this continue? Will this be the last election to where we will no longer be able to control what's going to happen to us? Because pretty soon they're going to determine, well, we know what you think you want, so we're going to go ahead and vote for you. And just sounds like the Soviet Union. Sounds like a communist country. If you want to actually start making impacts, let's get pragmatic and let's start demanding the veracity of this, the outcome of this election. We need to demand that only legitimate votes count, and we need to identify all illegitimate votes and throw them out in every state. How many people, how many dead people have voted? I mean, if you didn't hear about Michigan, the Secretary of State before leaving office actually purged all of the old votes, illegal, illegitimate votes out of the system. The first thing this new Secretary of State did after that person that came into office, they went back and they injected all of those illegitimate votes back into the system again to allow them or to now make them magically legitimate, even though they were all challenged and proven to be illegitimate. So, my friends, if you're going to just sit here and take it, then you deserve what's coming. But if you want to start getting organized, you know, I can't organize every local city, every local state. You need to start getting active. And as a matter of fact, check in with the National Liberty Alliance. They have leadership all in different spots. We need to start creating that network to where everybody can know what do you do and who's organizing and who's in charge of what. This way, we actually have kind of, I don't want to say a chain of command, but we have a network and a process so that we can start getting engaged. Because you know what? If we can't start getting engaged, it's pointless. It's pointless. We might as well just roll over, either that or, and I cannot recommend suicide or anything like that, nor can I recommend capitulating. But I can't think of anything other than lamenting and, you know, drowning in one's sorrows and woe. Anyway, as you know, the show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you were listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic-based solutions of what we need to be doing. You know, I'm telling you, the Antifa and the extreme left were out there and they're ready to protest any type of change that Biden doesn't win or any type of thing that's... This is why there's been such quiet from them. They don't want to stir or kick the dog while it's sleeping. Well, I'm kicking the dog while it's sleeping. You guys better wake up. You better wake up and start demanding a full audit and a full recount. Only legitimate votes can be counted in an election. Illegitimate votes must be rooted out. We just take for granted that everything is just done so cleanly, and it is not. And it's not that hard of a process to prove. Anyway, we would like to remind you that we would love to have you continue to help grow this show. We do need to get this word out. And as a matter of fact, as we start working more and more with other groups, and I've been introduced to some new groups, some old groups, and so forth, we are working together. If you're in a group, if you're in an organization, or if you know of one, let's start getting connected. We need to start working together. We need to start working to demand full compliance of our Constitution in every aspect. No reservation. So anyway, one of the things, and I probably haven't gone into this because we've kind of been expediting for Thanksgiving and so forth. You as a citizen, you have a birthright. You have liberty given to you. It is not just given to you because government gives it to you. Government protects it. It is given to you by your Creator. And so along with that liberty comes very specific responsibilities. And as a citizen in this republic that guarantees your liberty, you have responsibilities as a citizen to guard those liberties. First thing you can do is you can start petitioning. Second thing, I've already told you to go out and protest. Get out there and do what they're doing and shut down. As a matter of fact, the best way, I'm serious, listen to this. The best way to really get out and start bloodying noses, go shut down your CBS, ABC, NBC, and Fox News channels and your main papers. Go protest them. Protest them for failing to actually provide objective journalism instead of just being in the tank for promoting communism. They don't deserve, and as a matter of fact, one of the things you need to put into the protest is they need to be regulated. The freedom of the press has proven to be maniacal and nefarious, and that they must be, you know, overseen, they must be regulated, and they must have standards for objective journalism. Get these guys scared, because I tell you what, you do that, you go after them, and they start realizing that you have a legitimate argument. Ideas like this grow legs. It doesn't take time for somebody to go, you know what, we actually do need to pull these guys in. Can we? Wow, we can. Wow. Well, let's do this. And next thing you know, you're actually creating standards for a newspaper that calls themselves a newspaper, that they just can't, you know, rubber stamp a national narrative, that they need to be providing objective journalism of the pros and cons without necessarily guiding you towards an outcome or a decision, just providing you the facts so that you can make the choices for yourself. And when I say the facts, I mean the old, the unvarnished facts. What does the Constitution have to say about this? Oh, well, okay, so apparently there's no constitutional power to shutting down. There's no constitutional right that everybody has an opportunity to be able to vote, whether you're a citizen or not. Anyway, we're going into a break. So when we come back, what we want to do is we want to get back on track and going through the Constitution and laying down this foundation so that we can get ready to start going through some of the other material and preparing for one of the Bill of Rights Day, which is December 15th, and more stuff. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. So let me ask you this. Do you really believe, as we fight this enemy, I refer to the enemy as Satan. You can refer to the enemy however you want to, the global progressives, the Democrats. As we fight this enemy, as long as we continue to use the system that the enemy has created, not the Constitution, but the enemy, that all things must go through the court. No, we are a republican form of government, not a court system. You know, that was Moses' day. Israel was ruled by courts and judgments and so forth. We have sovereigns who govern and create law and enforce law. As long as those laws are in pursuant to the Constitution, both of the nation, the U.S. Constitution, and the state. Therefore, we don't have to go to the court. You don't have to fight this battle at court. As a matter of fact, you need to fight this battle right there at your state legislator seats. Right now, I'm telling you to get organized to start doing your protests. Winter session is going to be opening up, not soon enough, but the day those sessions open up, you got to remember this whole quagmire occurred at the very end of all of these state sessions. And then next thing you know, the governors have taken over. And many of the bad legislators have actually abdicated their responsibility in allowing the governors to do things all unconstitutional and harming you. I sure hope you didn't re-elect some of these guys. I know in Wyoming, we unelected and elected some very good conservative people, quite a few. We unseated quite a few, not all of them, but we're now getting some momentum. You need to start doing the same thing in all of your states. And you need to plan on slapping them, and I mean brutally attacking the state legislators. Not that they're the enemy or they're the fault, but they need to seize and shut down all emergency powers regarding pandemics and ailments and all things that violate our constitutional rights of worship, commerce, excuse me, assembly, and everything else. So, what I invite you to do is start planning. If you need me to help you connect, let me know. We'll get you connected to whoever in the NLA is working this, whoever else is out there getting things moving. We want you to also, in tandem, start working First Amendment petitions and start demanding that your state legislatures take back all and wipe out all emergency powers, that the emergency powers must be in congruence or in pursuant to the Constitution, that they cannot take away our rights of assembly, our rights of religious expression. It's one thing to go after those who are sick, to quarantine them, to, you know, help them get better, what have you, but they cannot shut down the entire state because they want to impose draconian measures that violate the Constitution. If there's somebody that can cause harm, then they have a right to be able to put that person into quarantine, either self-quarantine or move them into a hospital or what have you, so that they can be isolated and kept from doing harm to the general public. But come on, we need to start getting ready to start striking. And that's what we want and need to do. So anyway, again, we just kind of want to move forward. But one thing I need to bring up is that the Supreme Court is going to take up a case dealing with Trump's attempt to exclude people living in the country illegally from the census count. See, most people think that the census count gives numbers for representation. The 14th Amendment, Section 2, clarifies that apportionment can only be granted by those who are eligible voters. And that's it. You're not by the people anymore, but by eligible voters, because they knew states were pulling shenanigans so that they could get better representation and so forth. Now, states are creating voter rights and everything else for illegal aliens, and that is a violation of the law, and the Supreme Court should step in and say, you can't do that. You have no right to grant citizenship and voter rights for an illegal alien. They have to come through because we, the federal government, possess the naturalization process and powers according to the Constitution. So, anyway, let me just kind of jump back into the track of where we kind of were. But before I do, there's all these little caveats, right? As I was thinking, because we were kind of talking about, you know, elected officials. We're talking about entertainers, conservative entertainers that, you know, are out there preaching, and there's some that are teaching and offering their great curriculum that if you go and, you know, buy their educational material, that you will be better off and so forth. And I know that I kind of criticize those people because they're serving their own self-interest. They're not trying to actually solve problems. And so I started thinking about this, and somebody was asking me some questions, and it dawned on me because, you know, when somebody asks a question that they say, you know, I hate to ask a dumb question. And so is there really such a thing as a dumb question? I started getting profound. I started getting philosophical, and I said, is there really such a thing as a dumb question? Well, one might consider asking a question where the answer to the question may be very obvious. Like you walk in a room and you see a bunch of guys sitting around a table, and before you really start noticing anything else, say, hey guys, what are you doing? And then when you take a minute to, you know, gain perspective of what you just walked into, oh, it looks like they're playing cards. Then, you know, the answer to that, what are you doing, becomes pretty obvious. But if you haven't taken the second, or you haven't, you know, if you've lacked the patience to at least make the assessment before you ask, hey, what are you doing? Because you could probably forego that. You could even answer that question yourself. Most people are capable of answering those questions. But is it a dumb question? Well, one might consider asking a question where the answer is obvious, dumb. But I would actually point to say that it's not really necessarily a dumb question. It's just that the individual asking either lacks the proper mind model or paradigm, or they lack the patience to discover what is happening, what is going on before they ask. Now, I understand that there's some complexities when somebody walks in, hey, what the heck's going on? You know, and it's, you know, chaos and mayhem and so forth. You know, we just got bombed or what have you. I get that. But sometimes that second part is what's really important. When you have to at least apply a little patience to try to discover what the heck is going on before you ask. Try that. However, that said, asking the question helps expedite the clarity. For one, unfortunately, it's sometimes like if you've walked in and everybody's been there for 10 minutes and you're late and you ask the question and you just need some quick clarity. Well, you know, the one thing is that the person talking could recognize that somebody just walked in and go, okay, just to catch you up, we've just been attacked. You know, the Twin Towers have collapsed. Oh, okay. Thank you for catching me up. You know, and it's sad, and maybe it shouldn't be done, you know, especially for those who are late. However, I think that it is always the best approach to try to be helpful in providing clarity and those types of things and not lose our patience. I don't think that the Lord wants us to, you know, leave people behind or keep them in the dark or anything else. But again, before you ask why a person, you know, does this or does that, start giving it some perspective. Now with that concept, that paradigm, let me ask you this. I would like you to actually ask why, whether this person supports Republic Review or not. And going in, you should now already have the paradigm to understand what the difference is. In other words, is there really an ideological difference? Because this person has irrefutable facts in the ratification debates that proves that, you know, the government has, you know, the federal government or the states actually bought into this almighty power general contract. Well, I'm going to tell you that evidence doesn't exist. And if you read the ratification debates, you'll know this. However, you never know. Somebody can, you know, try to pull a rabbit out of their hat. It may be magic, but it's not the truth. So the question goes back to why is it that people or anybody out there wouldn't want to support Republic Review? And it comes down to what I believe are the two primary motives. One is self-interest. if somebody truly feels that it is not for their benefit to get involved in something and it could actually hurt them, you know, in other words, hey, I'm here selling you my classes and my academy and all of this awesome material. And if you go off and solve the problem, then you may not need my material anymore. You see my point? And so I just want you to start putting things into perspective. And then I want you to actually ask, why is it? Is it for self-purpose? Is it for self-interest reasons? Or is it ideological? Do you have any reason why the states should not assert their authority over the Constitution and enforce the Constitution? Don't even use Republic Review. Use those words in that context. I'll bet you anything they say, well, I really don't have a good argument against that, but you need to buy my classes. Well, there you have it. It's really about self-interest. We'll be right back after these two promos. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so I'm okay with, if you want to call it a proverbial dumb question, but I don't necessarily think there is such a thing. Like I said, it usually just lacks patience, but I do want you to start asking. I do want you to start challenging. If you want to know the truth, you really have to start challenging people. Challenge me. Here it goes. As you start looking at the person that's out, you know, talking, creating these great sound bites and, you know, whatever. There's all sorts of conservative organizations out there that talk about, yeah, the state should nullify, which I am telling you, the nullification is not the solution. It will not get the federal government into full compliance. It does not assert the force necessary to actually get full compliance from the federal government. So, in other words, nullification is a tool like a fly swatter trying to control and or kill a elephant. And so when we start looking at, you know, what is the individual doing, maybe the one thing you should look at and ask yourself, does this person make a living in this patriotic involvement, in this patriotic thing that they're doing? How much money does this person bring in doing this? Now, I'm okay with somebody that's actually getting some level of compensation. I'm okay with it. But you have to be very careful that what you're doing is not creating a better flow of revenue, but you know, based on, you know, it's like preachers that start changing their sermons to give the people what they want to hear so they'll pay more money. It's almost like musicians, it's entertainers that do those types of things. But if you're out, you know, because what did Madison do this for his own self-interest to build the enterprise of Madison Industries? No. But Madison did get compensated. He was compensated as whatever was deemed fair for doing the deals and the businesses of the state. So I'm okay with some people, but you have to put those things into perspective. And what the person is doing in getting their compensation, yeah, they put some hard work into it. I'm okay with somebody putting some hard work into it. But the question isn't whether they've put hard work into their products, into their books, into their curriculum, this magical curriculum. The real question is this. Why is it that they are not getting involved with demanding the states to assert their authority, take over the Constitution, and force the federal government into full compliance? Fundamentally, you just said, why aren't they on board with the Republic Review? See, Republic Review just happens to be like a marketing or a trademark and or a term used that simplifies this entire process of forcing the federal government into full compliance. And it can also be used as a term, Republic Review, in a state essence, to getting the states to comply and moving back towards county governments being the central, or I should say not the central, but the integral components of the Republican form of government, where the counties actually are the, because they're the closest body of government, they're the ones that have the most control over the every aspect of your life. But anyway, again, ask and ye shall receive, ask and ye shall find, because I'm here to tell you there are real reasons. And you may not want the answer, but once you find the answer, then you can actually go, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it. I never thought I would hear the day that these people really don't care about solving the problem. This is why, you know, if they can't put their name on it or their label on it, look, the NLA, the National Liberty Alliance, is a separate organization that has stepped up and is getting fully on board with Republic Review. Come on. What's in it for them other than the fact that they care? And as a matter of fact, they're an organization that's not out to make money. They don't even charge dues. And I say, you know what, for you guys to have all of the things you do, I think once you've created an organization, you should have at least some minimum contributions that people, you know, just to be a part of the organization, you know, to pay for the printing materials. Those types of things become reasonable. If you're not out, because right now the states aren't going to be paying for, but eventually that's what you want to do. You want your state to actually be paying for the cost of moving everything down the pike of Republic Review and of moving everything into compliance. That's where all government money must be going. But until we get there, we have to start consecrating and, you know, and pulling our resources and our talents and our time together. So anyway, it's all really, and the whole reason it took me two segments of this show, I wanted to make sure that you understood that there's a question and you need to start asking. Now, we've covered a lot of things. We've covered most of the things that the framers had kind of came to, or, you know, the foundation before they even could create the Constitution. What was liberty? What was the scale of liberty? What's this thing about natural law? We covered these types of things. And then as they wrote the Constitution and the byproducts of the Constitution, we basically in kind of highlighting each of these types of things. Like in the last episode, I know we covered ex post facto laws, bills of attainder, habeas, writs of habeas corpus, common law grand juries and grand juries and their functions to, you know, an overview. We started talking about standing armies and militias and so forth. I want you to understand the reason I'm going over this again, because they understood understood the threat that when a government has the ability to enforce their own laws, they become oppressive, even at the state and local level. So hint, 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 hint. We need to have a law enforcement system that does not rely upon private mercenaries to go out, like, you know, the cops and sheriffs and so forth. There is merit in having a system that does not require so many laws. There was merit in keeping a system where the people abided by higher laws of religious faith and so forth, because that's what kept people from not stealing and killing each other and doing bad things. Because if you did commit that type of sin, you knew that you'd have to bear the shame, that shame would be too much to bear in your community. You'd have to leave. And there's a good chance that that reputation would follow you, and it should follow you. I understand repentance, and I understand forgiveness. And I used to have this paradigm that when a person committed a very specific type of crime, that person should actually bear the tattoo or the symbol or mark of that type of crime. In other words, if he murdered somebody, if he, you know, raped a person, if he was a pedophile, regardless of what they did, they would have to bear that until society has basically come out and said, we feel that how can you pay back somebody's life? You know, it's one thing to be sorrowful and that you've paid your debt or what have you, because you got drunk and you drove a car and killed somebody. Now, was that first degree murder? No, but you did kill somebody, you go to jail. And so you committed murder. Well, obviously there are different degrees of murder, first degree and manslaughter, but the mark should be kind of similar, that you took somebody's life. But here's the question I have for you. At what point, then, can we actually remove that mark to say we no longer have to bear the mark of the sin that you carry or the sin that you've committed, this great sin? Because there's merit in having somebody consciously aware of the fact that they're being perceived as something that they have done. The problem that we have in society is that it's so easy to hide and bury these problems that people don't have to truly make the changes necessary to become a true contributor to society again. Now, in churches, most churches would have processes for that of, you know, banishment, excommunication, or what have you, right? And so for you to get back into the fold of the church, there's a heavier process of you to become, to be restored to your capabilities and positions and membership in a church. It's the same thing with society and communities. So anyway, I've kind of had this advocated. I was a champion for these kind of ideas that we would do that. Because only then does somebody become cognizant of just how bad they were, what they did, and what they really need to do, and how they need to make, you know, to be honest, I don't know if you've ever met somebody that right up front tells you that they were a really bad person, that they've done some things, just in case you find out, I want you to know, I don't have anything to hide. I'm not trying to hide from my past. I want you to know that my past has helped me make the necessary improvements. And then in so saying and in so doing, they can actually allow themselves to prove that they have overcome, that they have actually, they're worthy of the mercy and the forgiveness and those types of things. Because repentance and forgiveness are two really critical things in society we've kind of have lost. Anyway, we're going to go into a break and we'll be right back. We're going to be talking about Standing Army because that's what I wanted to talk about. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so the reason we kind of got into how society kind of functioned before, because before they didn't have lots of law enforcement. Enforcement of all these stupid laws really got out of control because we were a moral society. We, you know, your punishment would be before God or in the church and regarding your faith and so forth. Are we ready to start going back? And I know that there's pastors, there's way leaders, there are ministers that have called for, and they're, you know, pleading to have a third awakening. We can't go to a third awakening until we get the federal government and their controls off of our religious expression, which they can't make any laws for. In other words, we can't have this third awakening until we have Republic Review, until we force full compliance to the Constitution that all religious expression can be protected. And so this concept of a standing army, this concept of the ability for laws to be enforced by the government that suits it, or, you know, creating laws to suit its own purposes. Well, so this really begs a deep analysis, and I don't want to go into a full deep analysis, but let me just give you a point. People have a problem with licenses for cars. States have no right to issue licenses. Well, now do states, you know, the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution prohibits the federal government from creating any regulation regarding traffic or anything like that. So this 55-mile-an-hour, 65-mile-an-hour speed limits to be able to get federal money, that's all unconstitutional. But the states are and are capable of creating laws outside of, as long as they're within their jurisdiction. So they actually can create a law that you must license your vehicle. That is within the rights of a state for ensuring. And again, so what ends up happening is these licenses and tags and tabs become a form of revenue for the government. And I am here to tell you that that is wrong, that's usury, and that the government, you know, they start quickly making, hey, we could start making money if we start licensing everything. It's okay to create standards for safety purposes or what have you. But once it becomes a revenue issue, then we have a problem, because now it is a self-licking ice cream cone or a self-serving thing that the state is doing. Again, we got to go back to, it is reasonable that there is some kind of, you know, cover the cost of administering the safety laws and so forth. That we have lanes in the road for purposes to make sure that you drive on the right side, that you know when you can turn and things, because we don't want, and government, again, their function is to create protections to life and property. And so if they just let chaos go, then government is liable for all the deaths of the highway. But if they create standards and, you know, tests and licensing just to prove that you're capable of driving on the road system that they have created for commerce and for your liberty. But when they start creating these onerous types of licensing and burdens and so forth to say, you know what, we have, see, the state has a responsibility to improving and growing the state's ability for commerce. When all of a sudden they say, well, we can't afford to make our own roads so that we can, you know, afford you commerce opportunity, then there's another problem, because where are they spending all of their money so that they can't promote commerce and secure good movement of commerce within the state and county? Oh, well, they must be spending it on other things. And the fact of the matter is, many of those other things are not essential services for government. Education is one of those things. I know education, everybody goes, oh, well, shoot, the state needs to provide education. Well, no, they don't. As a matter of fact, beforehand, that was a community and a church responsibility and an individual responsibility. When you start doing things for people, the next thing you know, they believe they're entitled and they believe that they should be able to do these things. And so back to these concepts of a standing army. See, a standing army is not just a military force. This is why in What is the Real Problem, that article, I said a standing army is any type of force, whether it be plumbing code inspectors, that becomes an army, that they go out and they cite you. They may not be armed with guns, but many of these agencies are carrying and packing weapons for protection as well as for enforcement. So you start understanding that the framers recognize that government becomes too big when it starts creating so many different laws that it can enforce and regulate you and place onerous duties and burdens and licenses and so forth upon you. That's not the purpose of government. I mean, it's one thing to cover the cost, but it's another thing to go above and beyond that, to where they're making money and using that money to promote, you know, bad behavior, to, you know, have Planned Parenthood, or to go to have, you know, disease control for sexually transmitted disease. That's not government's responsibility. It's nice. Government can't dictate what a person does. And if you want to take you want to clean up morality, get rid of the sexually transmitted disease support and so forth. Force people to live with the consequences of their decisions. Oh, well, see, you have to start realizing that the day you start playing that we want to reduce, minimize, and actually alleviate the consequences of sin, you are creating a debasement for society, because where's the barrier? Well, you know, shoot, why do I need to be good when we've got all of these things that take away the consequences of my being bad? See, we've screwed ourselves up. And now we're actually regulating and giving benefit to those who do bad. And we're back to the standing army. If we start really looking that it is everybody's responsibility that we adhere to the law, that as a militia, we are all supposed to be compliant. We all have a duty. That is the duty of a citizen, is to support the Constitution, not to support Trump, not to support your stupid governor like, you know, Inslee and his draconian, or I should say despotic draconian measures. You have to understand that we do have a militia responsibility as a society, as a free, liberal society of liberty. We have a responsibility to be involved in supporting and protecting our Constitution from enemies, both foreign and domestic. So with that, getting into enforcement and law enforcement, we have to be very cognizant of when we actually start going, because you really, as soon as you open up, you know, professional services of law enforcement, you have opened the door to mischief. And this is what the framers were talking about. And I'm sorry for taking all of this time, you know, for these past two segments, kind of going through this and definitely going around the woodshed. But they viewed a standing army as one of the greatest sources of mischief, that we don't want them to be able to have these, you know, we're better off having churches who don't have guns, who can't kill people. They may be able to shame you, and they may be able to, you know, banish you from, you know, their graces and so forth. But a government, boy, a government can become oppressive just like that. I mean oppressive. So I ask, I pray that when you start looking at when the framers had built in this concept of citizen enforcement of the law, that Congress must call forth the militia, the organized citizenry of those who are to support. So in other words, if you're going to support the Constitution and the laws of the land, then you have to at least, one, be very well up on the Constitution. When I was in the Marine Corps, I didn't have to take a test. I knew and understood the Constitution, but I took an oath to it. And so I just had to kind of hope and pray that the guys who were telling me to do what I was supposed to do knew what they were doing. And they didn't. A lot of these guys didn't. And as I got older and wiser and smarter on these things, I realized many of them didn't. And we were doing things that we really shouldn't have been doing. And there goes the problem. And this is why I say this so often. When you read the Ten Commandments, the only way you can understand the Ten Commandments is by reading the source documents or the scriptures themselves that explain whys and the hows and the reasons for these laws. It is the same thing with our Constitution. We have to read the source documents, the ratification debates, why these men were so afraid of standing armies, why these men understood that when you had the ability to use force to ultimately enforce your will, then there's nothing keeping you from doing any despotic thing you want to do. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. And when we get back, we're going to be talking about oaths, citizenship, public servants, and so forth. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.